wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend. Who would have thought that a Lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, Counselor, Comforter, Keeper, Spirit we long to embrace. You offer hope when our hearts have hopelessly lost our way. Oh, we've hopelessly lost our way. You are the one that
again. Don't you just love spring ahead? I wish it would stay that way. Spring ahead, let's keep it like this. This is perfect. The fall behind is not so nice to us. Lose an hour of sleep. Who looks forward to that? Anyway, so this morning I want to have a little bit of a different message, sort of an everyday life message, something we need to hear, be reminded of. Basically, if I would give it a title, I don't know what Tom is going to give the title, or what kind of title Tom is going to give it to, but I'll call it "By Their Fruits You Shall Know Them." And I'll get into a more in-depth look at it, but on the surface of it, I just want to take a moment to look at, to remind us, remind each of us to take a look in the mirror, each of us, and what's the first thing you do in the morning when you get up? What's the very first thing you think of in the morning when you get up? This is now reality. One of the first things that I think of, and it's subconscious. I don't even realize yet that I'm doing it, but so it must be the spirit that's within me. I think of Jesus immediately. The first thing I think of is Jesus Christ. I got delivered from sin. I got saved. I'm still saved, and I will be saved forever, but I really thank God that he saved me. I thank him for his grace. The first thing I think of, and then I get my whole body, every part of my body to praise him, because that's what it takes to be healthy. Let every part of you, just as we, the body of Christ, praise him, our body is a body made up of different parts, different structures, different parts make up this body, and you want every part of your body screaming praise to the one who created it. For by it and by him we exist. Through him we live and we have our being. So yeah, the first thing I think of in the morning when I get up, and again, it's subconscious, I don't even realize it's there, is Jesus. And my question is it Jesus? If it's not, it should be. How many times during the day do you think about him? So for the rest of the day, how many times? That's where the tire meets the pave, during work. How often do I think of him? You get distracted by your everyday things that you do. And that's where you have to consciously, and it's not just subconscious there, you have to consciously make a decision to call upon him, include him into whatever you're doing. We should involve Jesus in everything that we do. And if there is something that we're doing, pay attention to this, if there is something that we're doing that you cannot involve Jesus or have him be a part of it, chances are it's probably not good for us. Or it might be even wrong or sinful. Think about that. And remember, Jesus can be involved in a lot of things in your life, a lot of things that he created in your job, in your work, in your sports, whatever you do, you can involve him. He loves to be a part of what you love. But if you cannot involve him in what you're doing, chances are it might not be good for you. So think about whenever you do something, if you can't involve him, maybe it's not too good for me then that I do that. I know there's things we do where you block him out almost. There's these rooms in our hearts that we don't make him part of us. But he wants to be part of everything, even the things that you do wrong, because he'll make them right. Not by making them right what you're doing wrong, but by making things that you struggle with, he'll correct them. He'll correct you and make things turn around. You can do it by outwardly making rules and regulations about how not to do it, but I firmly believe that's the wrong way of doing it. It might be a schoolmaster to get you to a certain point, but you need to do it in a relationship with him. A loving relationship is a bit different than a law relationship. So you can check out your conduct or your everyday walk in with that, in how... what part or how deep Jesus is with you and how you involve him in your life. So abide in him. So before I get into my message about by their fruits you shall know them, let's rise and ask the Lord for his blessings. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word again. Lord Jesus, you have given us clear instructions on how to live our lives so that we're victorious, and not only victorious, so that we're joyful in all things. There is joy and peace to be had when we know you, and I know it's a natural byproduct of the Holy Spirit that abides within us if we do not quench that spirit that's within us. So, Lord Jesus, you'll open up our minds to the truth of your word in Jesus' name, and you will bless, Father. Thank you, Father. You may be seated. In Matthew 7, 15 to 20, King James Version, by their fruits you shall know them. If you want to put that up, please. Notice that it doesn't say by their works you shall know them. It says by their fruits. And what's the difference here? If by their works you shall know them, there's unbelievers with good works, and they just train themselves to be good people. That's not what this is getting at. By their fruits you shall know them. If you do study trees, apple trees, any tree, any fruit tree, there is a time and a season where they have no fruit. So how would you know them then? Yet by their fruits you shall know them. A fruit is a natural byproduct of whatever fruit tree it is. It'll grow and eventually bear fruit. So by their fruits you shall know them. And it says here, beware of false prophets which come in to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly, and notice the sheep clothing here are good works. They are just an outward something you put on to make a good show, and they fool people. I've run into so many Christians who say this certain group, oh, they're all Christians, they pray, they do this. And well, that doesn't make people Christians. Christians are Christ-like people who have turned to Jesus Christ for salvation, and Jesus alone. Nothing, no strings attached. That's who a Christian is. That doesn't mean they're good people. They're always good people outwardly, but inwardly they have been made right. That's what defines a Christian. So beware of false prophets, which are come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. So it is impossible for you as an unbeliever without the Holy Spirit in you to bring forth good fruit. It is not possible. You can only bring forth bad fruit, things that are contrary to the Holy Spirit. In John 15, verse 1 to 6, King James Version, it should be absolutely no effort on your part to bear fruit, but to abide in the vine is where it can get tough. So here in John 15, Jesus says this: I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. Remember, the branch was part of him, but now this fruit, that this branch should have had fruit, he says, if it did not bear fruit, he takes it away. He purges it, and that it may bring forth fruit. First, that's what happens. It gets purged. Now you are clean. This is how it starts here. Now you are clean through the words which I have spoken unto you. So the power of the spoken word, the spoken word that Jesus speaks has the power to clean you. He told the disciples, you are now clean by the word that I have spoken over you. That's, again, by life and death are in the power of your tongue. And when the power of Jesus' tongue speaks life into the words that he has spoken and into you, they have the ability to clean you and make you into a new creature and also produce a few natural fruit immediately. Salvation, when you get saved, immediately brings three fruit. And I'm talking from experience. This is what happened to me when I got saved. I had love. I had a love that I never had before. And the love was that first love that you have is Christ. You wanting to share what you have with other people because you love them to know what you have. You love them enough to share it with you. Now it's looked at as you're hateful when you share that kind of a message because you think you're narrow-minded. But we see the road signs. As born-again Christians, there is a road up ahead, and the bridge is out. And all we're doing is we're warning that bridge is out. You need to take heed to not continue down that road. So that's the kind of love that was placed inside of you, is that you want other people to share that love, that joy, and that peace. So another thing that was given me was joy, incredible joy, which I had never, ever experienced. Not even a new toy or a new pair of skates could do that to me. That was, came and went, but that joy is still with me today. I feel the joy of the Lord. And peace, that's another thing. I never experienced peace in my life until I got saved. All of a sudden, I had peace, which I never understood. It says, and it shall pass all understanding, that peace. Will you have that peace, joy, love, and joy all the time? No, it can be taken from you, can be quenched, so you have to be careful. So, but if you want more fruit, there will need to be some pruning, and that, my friends, can be painful. And I'll get into the other fruits of the Spirit. So here again, Jesus speaking, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can you accept you abide in me. That means no more can you bear fruit except you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. And that's again as a result of abiding in the vine. For without me you can do nothing. So whatever you are producing without Christ is bad fruit. It's, as I stated earlier, it brings forth evil fruit. So So they're not good fruit. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except that it abide in the vine, no more can you bear fruit except you abide in the vine. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without or apart from me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, listen to this, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And who gathers them up? Not God. He doesn't destroy you. He just lets men. So men gather them up and cast them into the fire and they are burned. So basically you lose your worth. You lose your salt, your savor. You become worthless on this world, on this planet for God, because you are not bearing fruit. So we'll jump ahead to Galatians 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. These three come with salvation. When you get saved, again, I just spoke about this, you get love, joy, and peace. The second you experience salvation, you will have these three as a result from being saved. That's God's stamp on you, that you have been saved, is that incredible peace and joy that you have. I know, because again, I'm repeating myself here, I experienced this, but they can be quenched. You just have to live your life a certain way, and you will find out you can definitely quench those things. You will keep, in Isaiah 26:3, I didn't give Brendan this one, it says, you will keep him in perfect peace. And there's something that you have to do. What will keep your mind in perfect peace? Or that you have to, your mind is stayed on God. You have to stay connected, abide in the vine. Your mind also, not just your heart and soul, you have to have your mind always stayed on him. Trust in God. It's Isaiah 26:3. But the next four fruits that we have, that's out of Galatians 24 and 25, it says long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. Pay attention to this. Faith is also part of that. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. So long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, they are the ones that you need to live your life. The other ones come as a result of salvation. The other ones, they need pruning, especially the one long-suffering, which is patience. Not all of us have patience. As a matter of fact, most of my life I've suffered with that fruit not being present in my life. But it can become part of your life if you allow the tree to be pruned. And how is it going to get pruned? I'll get into that also. So after being set apart through sanctification, which, by the way, is the greatest of all miracles that we got saved, we should discipline our lives spiritually to maintain this intimate oneness with God where you can bear much fruit. So in closing, I'm going to quote something out of Oswald Chambers, and it pertains to this subject also. In Psalms 34:8, he starts out, it says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." This is a promise. You have to taste. That's, again, you have to do something. There is a requirement. You have to taste and see that the Lord is good. He is not evil. He doesn't bring evil. Satan is the perpetrator of all evil. God is sitting back and allowing us to conquer evil. Do you remember your first taste of the Lord's goodness? If you're like me, this is Oswald Chambers speaking here, your first tangible experience of his character was through someone he put in your life. Maybe a parent, grandparent, friend, neighbor, or Sunday school teacher. For me, it was Brother Dave, Pastor Dave, led me to the Lord. That's how I found out this incredible gift. When that person told you about the Lord, you listened because you tasted his goodness through the way she or he treated you. Through what you observed about her or his life, you were tasting the fruit of the Spirit. Is that what people taste when they're in contact with me or you? The fruit we bear when we are walking in the Spirit is neither from ourselves nor for ourselves. It comes from the life of Christ in us, and its purpose is to feed others. When they taste the love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control in our lives, they are tasting the goodness of the Lord. Here I'll interject something. This is why what a tree, fruit tree, is for. It's not for the tree to enjoy its own fruit. It's for you to go and eat the fruit. That's what our fruits are for. It's for other people to taste the goodness of God. But fruit only grows under the right conditions. When the sap of a healthy tree or a vine flows through its branches, if we want to bear fruit, we have to stay connected to Jesus, the vine, whose sap flows in us, which is the Holy Spirit, into us only when we spend time with him. Are you bearing fruit that others can taste? Whatever reason of life you're in, God has placed people around you who need to taste the Lord's goodness. Who is it that's looking to me every day to learn that God is what God is like? Sometimes it's painful to ask ourselves or myself that my kids are tasting, what my kids are tasting when they see me and how I interact even with my own wife or my own family members. Is it stress, irritability, complaining, ingratitude, anxiousness, or anger? Is that the fruit that comes out of me? If so, our Bible reading, hymn singing, and spiritual discussions will taste bitter to them, counteracting my best efforts to discipline them. But if what we're tasting is sweet, the things of the Lord will appeal to them. That's how you provoke them to jealousy. You provoke them to want what you have by having that relationship with Christ and that bearing natural fruit which they will want to eat of. And that's what I want from them above all. Is God pruning you? Just like every tree needs pruning from time to time, every Christian needs tending by the gardener. Like a sharp pair of pruning shears, the trials in our lives are the tools to cut out the dead branches in our lives. Pride, self-sufficiency, complacency, selfishness, unforgiveness. So the branches that remain will bear sweeter fruit. Sometimes he prunes us not because we're not unfruitful, but because we are bearing fruit and he wants us to help. He wants to help us bear more fruit. And that concludes my part and my segment of the message. And hopefully that was an enlightenment on how to bear fruit. And it's simple. Don't overthink it. The simplicity of Christ does not end with the simplicity of salvation. The simplicity of living for Christ stems in you abiding in the vine. How do I abide in the vine? Every part, every living second that you are breathing second that you have, you think about him. You pray to him. You ask him. Consider him. Consider his goodness. And he will come through as sure as I'm standing here. May the Lord bless you in this, and may it try you and bring you closer to him.
Hallelujah. God is still good. Last time I checked, he was. For those of you who love God, may this message resonate with you. Do you want to have fruits of the Spirit that James was talking about? Just dig into these scriptures that I'm going to have for you, because they show you who you are. And that alone, if you take it to heart, will bring joy, peace, and fruit. And you will love the Lord your God. So it starts out with Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now listen to this. Before you even start having fruit, before you even begin hardly on that Christian trip or that Christian walk, it tells us you are complete in him. Everything you need is given to you. You are complete. You're holy. You're pure. You're with Christ. You are his workmanship, which is head of all principalities and power. So the biggest power on this earth has made you complete in himself. What more can you look for? How many people understand this? They're forever trying to be completed. They're forever trying to better themselves. I'm not good enough. God might reject me. But Christ says, you are complete in him. Hallelujah. That's what I love. Regardless where I am, where I'm going, and what I preach, I'm still complete in him. In Colossians 2, verse 11, in whom also you are circumcised. I want you to pay close to the attention to that. You are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. God did it. He circumcised you. It wasn't a physical circumcision. It was a spiritual circumcision in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. What did Christ do when you became born again? What did he do when you became circumcised? He took away the body of sin that were bringing you into the kingdom of darkness. So he put it away. He took it out of the way. And what did he do? He nailed it to the cross. You are now free from all sin. If you know that, you can be victorious regardless what comes along in your life. Oh yes, we'll have our problems, our trials, our tribulations, but we're still complete in him, regardless what Satan throws at us. It says in Colossians chapter 2, you're buried with him in baptism. That doesn't talk about water baptism. Water baptism is just a sign that you are baptized, that you are immersed in Christ. You have become one with him, where also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. Is that your faith? No, it's the faith of Christ that will rise you from your sin condition, not yourself. Many people try all their lives. No, we got to do something. There's something horrible coming on up ahead. And if we don't improve, we're going to have some tough times. No, you are complete in him through the faith and the operation of God, who has risen him from the dead. you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with me, him. That means you have become alive. You are dead. You are dead in trespasses and sin. Now he has made you alive together with him, having forgiven you what? All trespasses. Is that half of them? Quarter of them? No. All your trespasses have been forgiven. And if they're forgiven, there's nobody, not Satan, not people, that can accuse you, because you are now Christ. You have been forgiven all trespasses. Isn't that nice to know that? You being free from the clutches of Satan simply because of the forgiveness of what Jesus did for us. Hallelujah. It says like this, Colossians chapter 2. Write that down or mark it in your Bible. Blotting out. What's blotting out? That's completely eradicating the handwriting of ordinances that were against us, which were contrary to us. He took it out of the way and nailed them to the cross. Hallelujah. All trespasses, all sin, all law was taken out of the way because they were contrary to us. They were taking us to hell. Jesus took them out of the way and nailed them to the cross. Now where there is no law, there is no sin. Have you ever thought of that? You have been freed from the law of sin and death, and that you have been made alive in Christ Jesus. There's nothing that can condemn you. He nailed them to the cross. But what did he do when he nailed them to the cross? He took them out of the way, nailed them to the cross. Now they're in your heart. You know that you know, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not watch pornography, thou shalt not do this or that. That's everything written in here. There's no escape. You know of it now. And if it resonates with you, then you have this Christ that has done this for you. You are now on your way to the kingdom of heaven, where you will spend your eternity. Don't try to make sense. Don't try to figure out if it makes sense. It clearly makes sense because it is written. Don't make nonsense out of it by your own ideas, by your own translations, by your own ways of thinking. You have been made free from the law of sin and death through the circumcision. Circumcision means it was cut off and taken out of the way, and it was nailed to the cross. That belongs to us for free, nevermore to be in the clutches of Satan, but for the rest of eternity, we belong to Christ. Let the Lord open your heart to that. and give you joy and peace. Even though you will trespass, the fruit that James was preaching on, they will come naturally. You don't have to work at it. It's going to come naturally. You will love. You will preach. You will talk to people about Christ. Why? Because the Spirit of Christ is in you, and you cannot help yourself. So let the Lord open your heart to this and make you a blessing. Amen.
There's not a mother, sister, friend, or brother that loves the way that Jesus came. He proved his love for me when he died on Calvary. He gave his life for fallen. Wants to love you. There is none above you. You are precious in